We heard you missed us. We're back. It's live from the Five Hole, Faxes from UncleDale.com's weekly podcast or thereabouts. I am Sam Fells, your host of the Sam Fells But Who's Buying newsletter. You can find me on Blue Sky at Fellsgate. This is our somewhat NHL draft preview show. We don't know anything about the NHL draft, but you know, we'll fake it till we make it, and we know just as much about it as anyone who claims to know a lot about it. So that means, of course, we are in fatal four-way formation with the usual crew. He is back from his hiatus, from his assignment. He is Dr. Viral. He's the biggest jackass, no talent in the business. And he's the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 Central. He's Andrew Cieslak.
It's too cold in Norway, and it's too hot here.
Yeah, you got to stay in the middle, although that's right in the ocean, isn't it? So, Newfoundland?
Bury me at sea, Sam.
Geronimo.
Like, drop me out of a helicopter like Osama bin Laden.
You can find Slack on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. He's working the ones and twos for us. You've already heard his dulcet tones in the back there. He's our technical supervisor and our supervising technician. He's Matt McClure.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. You can find Matt on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. And last but not least, he's the goal line assassin. He's the oracle of Humboldt Park. He's Fifth Feather John.
I'm also elated to be back in the Slack formation.
Yeah, we just function better. Our running game's more stronger.
Mm-hmm. We get off the bus running.
You can find John. Well, you can't find John on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He's always lurking.
He's out there.
He's out there. He's in the ether.
That's right.
So, gentlemen, we are here. We are days away from the NHL draft, which will signal a monumental shift.
That stammer tells us all we need to know. Exactly.
I was going to say, which will be watched by approximately 5,000 people worldwide.
I mean, it'll probably be watched by more than that, which is scary. But we'll get to the draft in a second, because there's really only one question that matters for the Hawks right now. We have seen in the past few days them re-sign Hockey Nato for the money that apparently has been on the table for months. They then traded for Andrei Burakovsky, who's another word for Ryan Donato. John?
Hockey Nato, you mean?
Yeah, Hockey Nato. Make it all make sense.
It doesn't make sense, Sam. I think the most disheartening thing for me, and we've talked about it on the real show, is the fact that it's an overpriced older veteran that's going to take a spot that has a shoe-in spot. So now you're looking at a roster of seven
middle
signed
six
veterans, middle six to fourth line veteran players that are going to be taking spots away and that you cannot open up a roster space for. So if you're looking at how many forwards openings they have at this point, so you have your seven dopes now, and then you have Bedard.
Hang on a second. Can you list out your seven Mary dopes?
The seven Mary dopes. So
like seven Mary three.
It's their side project.
You've got Foligno.
Okay.
The aforementioned Burakovsky.
Mm-hmm.
Bertitis.
Okay.
Tavo.
Yep.
Dickinson.
Mm-hmm.
Mikheyev.
Yep.
How many is that? Is that six dopes?
That's eight, I believe.
No, but
that's
six.
That's six
dopes that I've listed. The seventh is it's not Lucas Reichel because I wasn't counting.
It's Donato. Have you?
Yeah, thank you. Hockey Nato.
Hockey Nato.
Yeah, so there you go. You've got seven guys who all on their best season. So you got your 31 goal season from Hockey Nato last year, and you still were the second worst team in the league.
Yeah.
So you're beyond hockey magic, to even have it. So, and the other thing that's really kind of drawing my ire here is that they're talking about how they're keeping these veterans to low years so that they're not taking away from younger guys when they're ready. Well, what younger guys aren't ready at this point? You've got Bedard, you've got Nazar, I think it's Landon Slaggart is ready. There's no point in sending him back to Rockford.
He is what he is.
He is what he is.
Slacks Lardass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got Lardass, who's coming up.
Let me ask you this, because you guys have your finger on the pulse of Hawks Reddit in a way I don't.
It's not something we like to brag about.
No, but it's true. We have, so all these winger spots are jammed up, right?
Correct.
They're full with palookas and hoosits and flotsam. Let's say we get to training camp, and in the first three preseason games he plays, Nick Lardass has 4 goals. And then Jeff Blashiel.
Blashiel.
Right on the eve of the season, they announced that Lardass is still going to Rockford.
Ah.
And Davidson comes down from his
200-foot game,
his playpen, to explain why they think Lardass needs more seasoning. Would that get Hawks Reddit to start looking at this cockeyed?
No.
No, they'd be happy.
You're just impatient.
He's learning. He needs to learn how to play at this,
to Rockford
at this level.
With ye.
They want to learn. They want to lose.
There's this bizarre, misguided thought that you need to learn how to play at the AHL level as though it's like baseball, where you got to go through each level.
That doesn't even really apply to baseball anymore.
Well, it sort of does, but
more than it does in hockey.
Correct. I mean, in hockey, you're talking about maybe 15 to 20% of the entire NHL player. Well, I don't know. I'm throwing numbers out there, but it doesn't feel like that many guys have
not
to
players
do
who
an,
matter.
Do have to do an apprenticeship, right, in the American League.
The equivalent, if I were to draw it, is that AAA in baseball matters less than it ever has. And if you've got someone who's just lighting it up in single A or double A, you might as well just bring him to the majors, because AAA isn't really doing anything. And I could draw that equivalent with the AHL. Like, if you're lighting it up in college or junior or Europe, that's double A, right? So the AHL, if you're a player who's supposed to matter, I just don't think it has much to offer you.
I mean, it's always been like that.
Yeah. But for whatever reason, they seem, the Hawks Reddit and other weirdos out there seem to think that this is the way that you need to build a team. I guess because the Lightning did it, people told them that the Lightning did it that way. And so that's why that this thought process seems to be prevailing throughout the city and the 5 people that follow this team.
They also keep changing the goalposts on when this rebuild started.
Mm-hmm.
Today, yep. Today was three. It's been 3 years, and it's going to take 10 or something.
Yeah, you just don't know how long rebuilds take.
You're not patient. If you have a problem with it, and I'm sure America's worst segment will get to this, as one of our, I believe,
worst and favorite
started a conflagration over there with a very inflammatory post, and
we're very proud of him.
We're very proud. Thank you so much for doing that. Just created our content for us by getting chased off of Reddit at the same time.
Banned off the Hawks subreddit, which is actually a good thing.
Yes, that's definitely a badge of honor.
Definitely.
But yeah, no, I mean, Sam, I mean, if you're the scenario that you throw out there, I mean, you don't even have to say that it's Lardass. You could say a handful of other guys.
Ryan Green, Oliver Moore.
Right. And this thought that, like, you know, if these guys come out there and they play, and they're going to say, well, they need to learn how to play in a checking role. They're going to, you know, they'll come up with some stupid excuse, as opposed to just, you know, at this point, you've got to just let the kids play, in my opinion. There's no point in continuing to accumulate these veteran players that aren't good and that aren't helping you. Like, what this argument that they're building a good culture, there's nothing good about being the second worst or worst team in the league every year.
It seems so simple to be like, yeah, don't get players who aren't good. Right,
he's
like
getting here sooner or later. Every fucking forward off that go nowhere Kraken team is gonna be here.
Like, the first thing of any front office, like, the first policy is like, okay, what we don't want to do is acquire players who are not good.
Well, I'd like to think that once you start paying, I guess you pay Bedard and Nazar next year,
you can extend them this summer.
You can extend them next week.
So, some of those
But they don't get that money until next year. You're right.
Not about their money, but their cap hit at least means you don't have to continue to fill up your middle six with $5 million per 2 year contracts for guys who suck. I mean, that's exhausting. It's like you have to have them because you can't, you know, there's only so many dead Shea Webbers out there you can put in your roster. So
well, and not only that, I mean, it's just those guys that you're acquiring, your Burakovskis, your Mikheyevs, all these guys, you're not going anywhere with them.
Well, they didn't. It feels so much like they picked up a guy who's on the downslope and overpaid on purpose.
Correct. Yeah.
We need a guy who's overpaid and sucks, and we don't have to give up anything for. And they did.
Which is why anyone, and I'm clearly trying to validate myself here, could take a cynical read at this, yeah. and say that that Kyle has no interest in being competitive and continually Correct. Kicking the can down the road. This
it's
isn't
very obvious, and including when you get articles released once a day that say no more moves this year.
Yeah,
sorry.
This is it. Unless somebody gives them a sweetheart of a trade. Yeah.
Unless Mitch Marner says, I want to play for you only, and I want to take the like no money, and I don't.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, we don't want him anyways. We don't want Marner.
Yeah,
anyways.
We don't.
He's
don't
a loser.
He doesn't fit our culture.
Yeah,
he
we're not
going to playoffs.
We're not,
important.
You know, I wrote this yesterday. It was one thing, and you know, I'm obviously not as high on Ilya Mikheyev as most Hawks fans. But when the Canucks had a cap problem, you're like, okay, this is a team that won its division, was this, you know, were they the top? They might have been even the top seed in the conference, you know, the two seasons ago. And I didn't think they were any good, and it was all smoke and mirrors. But it's like, well, I could see where they're trying to improve and entrench themselves in the playoffs, and they need to move this guy because they just need to improve that roster spot, and the Hawks are their salary relief. When you're the salary relief for the Seattle Kraken, who are nowhere near the playoffs, and they say this guy isn't good enough for our team, but you say he's good enough for ours. I mean, that you're just saying, yeah, we plan on being miles behind a non-playoff team, and that just doesn't make any sense. What is it that Andre Burakovsky is being brought here to do?
Take up space.
What is the
help
company?
Help them get a top five pick next year.
Guard the rim. I mean, what is the cover story?
That's it. Another draft pick next year. Can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, and again, like you're still getting to the point where, okay, Burakovsky signed for 2 years. So you're stuck with him for 2 years, and he's not someone that you can bury. I guess you could potentially bury him at the bottom of your roster. You're not going to buy him out at a $5 million per.
Even for next year, you wouldn't.
No. I mean, unless he's just god awful, like to the point where, you know, you cannot justify having him take up a spot on the NHL.
He might
roster,
be,
which is possible, but
I mean, his problem is more that he's ouchy than he's horrifically bad. He's not good, but he's
if
not.
You look at the big, I mean, they like to say that like Foligno is coming off the books next year. Okay, well that's
yeah,
one
oh,
spot.
Oh, don't be so goddamn sure.
he's going to go on the books of the coaching staff.
Yeah,
or CHSN. Yeah.
So okay, so that opens up a spot on your fourth line.
I'd rather him be a coach.
Or your 13th.
Yes,
forward.
I would rather him be a coach too. It's like.
But Tabo, Bertitis, all those guys are still signed for multiple years. Burakovsky, Mikheyev, does he have 2 years left?
No, he's got only one left.
So this is his last year?
But he will be the new Donato. There will be a push to keep him around
right
at the deadline. You just watch.
I know, Sam. And that's to me, this is the most disheartening thing. And the why I feel like this whole thing feels rudderless is that you're not opening spots up for these young kids. You're
yeah,
not.
What do you,
if you were
what do you,
opening spots up, you would have 10 openings. And you would say, We're gonna fill this with as many kids as we can possibly justify, and then the rest we'll find on the scrap heap during training camp. Guys that are getting let go or whatever. Mm-hmm. If that was what your plan was, but your plan is to continue to do this sort of half veteran, half young team thing, which doesn't work because the veterans want to win. Or think that they're there to win. The young kids are learning from a bunch of losers because you're not winning. And right. you're in this vicious cycle, which they've been in now for whatever you argue it, 3 years, 4 years, it's all the same. It's all the same. And
you don't understand, because Stan Bowman gave up so much of their assets. It took Kyle time to rebuild that.
Oh, and don't forget, they have a young elite goaler now. So everything is good. By the way, I'm not sure if you've ever watched the NHL before, but you could create an entire league filled with young goalers who were hung out to dry by their teams and whose careers were completely ruined, at least for a few years. So to sit here and be hyped on Spencer Knight is just a cautionary tale to me. Like, that's not something that I'm super excited about, is to see him get shelled night in and night out. Because again, if we look back at, because we don't watch any other games other than the Blackhawks. If you go back to the Hawks at the turn of the century, when they had three young goalers whose careers they completely derailed, who ended up being good because they went somewhere else and got weren't being bombarded or shelled every night. It took Michael Layton 10 years to get his career on track. It took Craig Anderson 6-7 years for him to get his career on track.
In 15 different stops.
Correct. So this is why, to me, you know, you can get, it makes us be the goblins or whatever, but it just doesn't feel like there's any direction. And what positive is it to again finish in the lottery next year for Gavin McKenna? So then you can ruin another can't miss prospect's trajectory by making him lose for the first 3 years of his entry level deal.
I mean, they're not going to get Gavin McKenna.
Well, that's what the freaks think, Sam.
Is that really what they think?
Yes.
But then aren't they going to be panicked about how they pay all these prospects they're going to pay? They're going to draft? How could you possibly afford Bedard and McKenna and Nazar on the same roster?
Right.
Don't forget, well, number one defenseman, Sam Rinzel.
Not even mentioning multiple Norris winner Sam Rinzel.
Yeah.
You trade Korch and solve all your problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently.
You're going to trade the 25th pick for Jason Robertson.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Nice thread on that. Can we get Jason Robertson? No. Because your GM is a bum. That's why.
Right. A real GM could potentially swing it.
You have a GM who's been accumulating draft picks and prospects for 3 years, however they want to count it, and you don't have enough to get Jason Robertson?
No. And plus, was it the Kraken that took on Mason Marchment that kind of solved that problem for the Stars anyway?
Yes, it was. The reason they could afford Mason Marchment is because they traded Andrei Burakovsky here. Like, I wrote this again. I want to review. When the Kraken had salary cap problems, they came to the Hawks. When the Canucks had salary cap problems, they came to the Hawks. When the Hurricanes wanted to pull off the Mikko Rantanen trade and needed someone to eat money of nothing, they came to the Hawks and didn't tell them anything.
Well, and then on top of that, Sam, the Hawks didn't get any sort of sweetener on any of those deals.
No, none.
You'd think Kyle being here for the 2015 season and I think 2014, I don't know when his tenure started, but you would think that he would remember that all these trades that the Hawks had to make were painful, where they had to give
up. There is a guy back on this roster
that you reacquired. Right. I mean, that's another thing that really sticks in my craw is that you're making all these trades, the Mikheyevs, the Burakovskis. You're acquiring these guys, but you're not getting anything else with it.
No, you're just
saying, you're just you're helping people out, and you're saying this is a guy who's going to hold a spot until we have our young kids are ready to come play. Okay, well, which young kids aren't ready to play right now, other than Sacha Baron Cohen?
Well, when they get here, John, you got to understand, they need another 3 to 5 years of experience before
they need
good.
To learn how to play in the AHL. By the way, the AHL finals, the Calder Cup finals, wrapped up yesterday. The Panthers affiliate was in the final, just in case people were wondering there. Rockford, of course, got eliminated before you could even start
sit down
the playoffs.
And notice. Yeah.
So Rockford was eliminated, 3 months ago, it feels like, at this point? And then Vancouver's affiliate was the team that ended up winning it.
Between the two teams, is there anyone who matters on those teams?
Mackenzie Entwistle.
Boy, I wonder if we could get a guy like that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He learned how to play here in Chicago and in Rockford. So then he was ready to play in those big games.
That should be the Reddit post that we make. Like, I saw Mackenzie Entwistle's winning the AHL championship. What was it, a mistake to get rid of that guy? Should we get him back?
Yeah.
Is Charlotte the Florida?
Yeah, they're Florida now.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go through these rosters and see if any of these players matter. Jujhar Khaira, he was a member of Abbotsford.
Right, there you go. There's another guy that came through here that learned how to play at the AHL level.
Jonathan Tays, lineman, and Jujhar Khaira.
Sammy Blaze was around.
Sammy Blue.
And then over on Carolina. Oh, Jesse Puljujarvi.
Uh-huh.
That's it. Those are the only guys I've ever heard of.
And Mackenzie Entwistle.
Well, yeah, here he is. Yep. Bad. Yeah, so that's what the Florida thinks their AHL team is worth.
Right. Yeah. And I'm sure that all the Panther fans are really hyped on Charlotte losing in the Calder Cup final, because that means that more future success for their team.
True success. That's what it is for them, is having a strong farm system. I mean, the Cups are great, I guess, if you care about that sort of thing.
Yeah, not one of those guys on Charlotte will probably matter for Florida. And if they do, they're not going to be a Cup contender next year.
No, they'll trade them for guys who will help them win an actual Cup.
By the way, since Spencer Knight has been the elite young goaler that everybody has been raving about on Hawks Reddit, it's curious that why would the Stanley Cup winning GM, Bill Zito, give up something like that?
Right.
Why would he be so quick to just unload that? I mean, I understand that obviously Seth Jones helped them win the Stanley Cup, but why would you be so willing to get rid of him if
there's a better option than 11 Mildo, cheaper, you know. Paper, why wouldn't you want that?
Mm-hmm. Curious. Anyways, I digress.
Bill Zito doesn't build a roster the right way.
No, he doesn't. And he doesn't know what he's doing.
He doesn't understand what patience is.
Yeah, he really doesn't know what patience
is. Listen, John, after Florida wins these two cups and maybe a couple more in the next 3 years. Four cups, five cups, maybe. After that, though, it's not going to be good for them. It's really not.
Some days it's all going to come crashing down for them.
Yeah, you'll see.
Yep. Great.
Speaking of, as long as we're talking about Florida, they do have some players they brought through, such as Lundell, Sam Miskevich, Lou Eisterinen, who they traded for. But would you care to guess how many games in the AHL these three combined for?
Combined?
Yeah.
80.
Not a one.
Wow.
Weird that you could bring guys up at this level and still win and develop at the same time. Crazy. It's weird.
Apologize. Sam Miskevich had 62 games last year.
See, there you go. My 80 games was close.
The three of them combined for 62 games.
Okay.
So let me ask you this. Why does Korchinski's like 100 NHL games not count for development?
I don't have any.
He needs to go play 100 more in the AHL?
Right.
That's what they're saying.
What?
Because fuck you, that's why.
Yeah, shut up.
See, to me, this is another weird thing is that all of these guys are guys that Kyle drafted. So I don't understand why he's like basically making his own picks look bad
That they're good.
Right. Right. Levshunov and Korchinski, and again, this is in reference to what Scott Powers, I guess he's still a friend of the program, but he probably hates us now. But
no, he doesn't. I made it clear. I know that he's the messenger, not the, you know.
Okay.
He's not making these decisions. He just has the unfortunate job of reporting on them.
Right. Scott, like how bad does it look? Like you took your second overall pick, Levshunov, your seventh overall pick, Kevin Korchinski, two young defensemen who at this point, still at under 20 years old, should be in the NHL, and you're continuing to just put them in the AHL for reasons that go beyond comprehension. And again, you're on the second worst team in the league. There seems to be this like weird, like again, another weird thing. They think that they're still the 2014-2015 Blackhawks, where they're competing for a Stanley Cup, and they can't have these young kids making mistakes because it's going to end up costing them at the end of the season or something.
No, why do they?
You're here to grow and develop, and if you win, the wins will come eventually. If you have kids that are willing to learn and adapt, if they're not, then you shouldn't be drafting them that high.
And a coach because you can teach them.
Yeah, you could learn that at your dinners with them before the draft, if whether they're willing to learn from mistakes.
Well, they don't do dinners anymore.
Right, right. But they were
dinner's
doing them
canceled.
Before. Yeah,
dinners canceled.
That's, I mean, that's, it's just, it's insanity. Yeah, that if, why are you trying to make it so difficult to get these kids to become regular NHL players? These are your draft picks. If they don't make it, you look bad.
First off, I just want to say Scott is probably like most of the rest of the world. He could just take it or leave us, you know, care either way.
Correct. I don't think he cares either way about the Blackhawks.
I know he doesn't care either way about the Blackhawks.
Right.
If your number two overall pick needs a second season in the AHL, you made the wrong pick.
Yes.
That's your pick.
Your reputation is based on his success. Because if he flames out, it's on you. So why are you continuing to store him away in the AHL, waiting for like this perfect day when he's going to just magically appear as Drew Doughty?
Because the delay is judgment.
Old.
Like, if he's in the AHL, there's no definitive answer.
No, there is a definitive answer. He stinks. That's the definitive answer.
None of them are artificially keeping him there.
Then Kyle stinks.
Well, Louis Krivine.
Well, we know Kyle stinks.
Again, Sam, but Sam, that's still from only, like, one angle on it. Because the other angle is that guys like Lovshunov and Korchinski, they look around and they say, why am I down here? Why am I wasting my prime years of my career? Because they don't want to call me up. And meanwhile, there's guys like Wyatt Kaiser and Louis Crevier taking spots that I'm better than. It just destroys the entire morale of the organization. And if people say that doesn't matter and that they should be striving to be like Louis Crevier, blow me. That's not how it works.
That's not how it works. Not Kevin Korchinski
has always, and Lovshunov have always been better players than the Wyatt Kaisers and the Louis Creviers of the world.
And we like Wyatt Kaiser, but like he's a third pairing guy,
and he's not worth it. Yeah, and I think we've talked about this. I don't know if it was on the real show. I don't know if it was on this podcast. Wyatt Kaiser. Every team in the NHL has a Wyatt Kaiser.
Yeah,
and you should have several of them in your system competing for AHL championships.
Yeah, he's not this luxury that only the Blackhawks have. He maxes out as maybe a second pair of defensemen on a decent team.
That's a nice thing to have.
Yeah, but everybody you should have every team has one of those guys.
Right. I mean, I like Wyatt Kaiser more than the seven bums they have at forward. I'll say that much.
Yeah, it just feels like the Hawks' philosophy has never changed in the 15 years that we've been.
Yeah, I know. I mean, John, you know, I agree with everything you're saying. I'm just, you know, I don't even know if Danny ever goes down the hall and asks for an explanation from Kyle. My guess is no.
Of course not.
No, obviously not. There's no imperative.
But if he does, or if there's any threat that he might, then when Danny does walk down the hall, he's like, hey. Why is this number two pick not here? Instead of going, you're a moron, this guy can't play, Kyle can be like, well, he still needs seasoning. And Danny will just accept it. Because he'll just walk away. And it keeps Kyle in the job.
Kyle looks at him and he says, in a very sultry voice, 200-foot game.
Yeah,
which Danny assumes is a lunch buffet of some kind.
And how many seasons did Alec Vlasic, this great success story that they love pointing to now, how many years did he have?
What is he,
the
third
AHL?
Best defenseman on the second worst team in hockey? He's a really big success.
Yeah,
story.
He had one full season in Rockford, right?
Hockey, Cole Komet.
Yeah.
Yeah,
your top line, your future top pairing defenseman. The 2 years that you've had him as your top pairing defenseman, you've been the worst team and then the second worst team in the league.
Yeah, right. what's the success?
And these are his prime seasons. These are his prime seasons, 22, 23, 24. This is when he should be his best. And at his best, he's helped spearhead the Hawks into being one of the worst.
Was he
teams
even
in the
on
league.
The top? He was not on the top unit, even on the fucking B team at the World Championships, was he?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I mean,
so,
who
yeah,
cares about
get
the
World
Championships?
Out of there. Exactly. Well, apparently it was good experience for Nazar and Vlasic.
I mean, I'm sure it is, in a sense, and it's nice to be on the Team USA radar for tournaments down the road. They're not making the Olympic team. They're not this one. But yeah, I don't really care how they played there. This is oh great, hat trick against Denmark. We've done that show.
Yeah, there's no NHL players on Denmark. You're playing against a bunch of
not,
Euro
not
trash.
The World Championships.
No, maybe one. But anyways, that kind of like leads into America's favorite segment, which I'm sure we're coming
well,
up
before
on
we
here.
Get to that.
Uh huh.
And it's the subject of tomorrow morning's post on the newsletter, but I do want to address this Sam Rinzell stuff, and I want to stay at the top. All four of us like Sam Rinzell. We enjoyed watching him play.
He's got all
and
the
we're
tools.
Not nearly as surprised as the Hawks man.
We apparently were not as surprised as the Hawks themselves that he could play.
Yeah.
But for a team and a media and a state media to fawn over this guy's 9 games at the end of the season when Lucas Reichel is still on the roster. We just
and
did this.
And so was Artem Levchinov.
Like we just did this. 2 years ago, Lucas Reichel comes up for the last 6 games and looks great. Does it matter? No. It doesn't. He's been terrible ever since. Now, I don't think that's Sam Rinzell's
future.
Hey,
that's their biggest trade chip, Sam, to get J.J. Paterka.
Right. But to say Sam Rinzell is now a top-pairing guy after 9 games at the end of the season, I counted it out against at least 6 teams who did not care. We got to just pump the brakes here.
Well, and that's the other thing when I'm talking about the morale of the organization. Sam Rinzell plays 9 games, and he is a shoe-in for next year's roster. There is no question.
Top pair, not just
he's
a shoe-in.
On the team. Exactly. Right. Meanwhile, Levchinov and Korchinski are sitting around going, well, we had good 9 games.
Right.
Why aren't we shoe-ins? I mean, yeah. It's a very slippery slope when you start with the way that the Hawks operate. And that's and there's a reason why they continue to be one of the worst teams in the league with no hope at the end of the tunnel, because they pull these like stupid ass things with where it just again it just they love to destroy their credibility, and then they go backwards on some guys, forwards on others, and there's really no difference in between. If you said Sam Rinzell, Levchinov, and Korchinski all have to come into camp next year and earn a spot, fine. But
at least
to
we're
say
all
that,
the same plane. Yeah, you know,
right.
Like,
but
that's not what they're saying.
No, that's not what they're saying at all.
No.
So, I mean, it's insane. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, what do they do if Rinzell looks terrible in camp?
Well, what are the odds, Sam, that a rookie player with 9 games under his belt goes through a slump?
I'd say they're pretty high.
I would say they are. I would say
Nicholas Jalmerson had a 2-year slump, if people recall.
I was personally ready to drive him to the fucking airport.
And that was after a great rookie season. So, right. I mean, this is what I'm talking about.
I still see him blindly firing the puck up the boards in my nightmares.
Out of Corey Crawford's glove.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah, it's totally possible.
Yeah, I mean, the Rinzell thing, again.
You know they're going to sign some.
We all really think he could be a good player.
They're going to sign some Paluka for the blue line.
Well, it's already getting floated out there. It's getting floated that they want a 7th defenseman that's easily scratchable. Guess what? They're not going to be easily scratchable, because Blasile is going to say, "Oh, that's I like that guy. He makes me feel comfortable."
Because he's going to get points chasing.
He's going to be playing.
Right. If I don't get 70 points, I'm fired.
And then you're going to have a stretch where the 7th defenseman is playing 25 games in a row or whatever. Because we saw it for the last 2 years here.
Or they just keep throwing
fucking
Crevier out
there. And the
fact
that they're doing this again, they're doing it again, even though after at the end of the season, Kyle said we're going to be looking to give the young kids more opportunities. You're not at all. You have just as many spots going to bum overpaid veterans.
Jeff Petrie, oh, there's something.
All right. Well, before we get to America's favorite segment, America's best segment, you called it ABS.
We're rebranding all the time.
Show.
America's worst segment.
America's worst segment, but America's favorite segment at the same time. So AWS and AFS. We should talk a little about the draft. I'm not here to tell you who the Hawks are going to take at the end of the first round or the second round or beyond that. I don't know, and I don't care. But they do have the third overall pick, seeming like it's going to be either Denoye, Denoid,
Demonil,
or Frondell.
Denoid. Are we getting noided?
We're getting noided. I'll tell the people. John thinks they're going to take Frondell simply because he played with Marcus Kruger.
Correct.
Is that what you'd prefer, or do you not?
There will be a phone call to Marcus Kruger, too. Scott,
I don't have a
call.
Strong preference on anybody.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
It's not a very exciting class to begin with. Doesn't feel like there's...
Based on my experience on an airplane of 9 hours with Swedish people, I'm hoping they don't pick him.
The vibes and juice at the top of this class just doesn't... It's not there for me. So I really don't have a strong preference as to any which way they go.
It's like the juice at the bottom of a public pool's garbage can.
It does feel like this MESA thing, this MESA is dropping like an anchor.
That's intrigue.
You take him and he's on the team for next year next to Bedard. I don't care.
Well that's the thing, Sam. I bet you
today they said that.
That they would take him?
In the article, they hinted, they being the Athletic crew, that if MESA falls to the Hawks and they take him, he would probably have a good shot at making the team.
And they take him, or they would take him.
If he falls to three, they would take him for sure.
Would they, though?
Yes.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. Okay.
Yes.
So they like him enough.
They like him the most, I think, out of anybody.
But they don't think he's going to be there.
They don't think he's going to be there.
Okay.
But
so why not move
up? Chris Peters, friend of the program, is insinuating that the Sharks might like Frondell more than MESA.
I hope they do.
That's out there. That is out there.
Well, and there's the chance, too, even though they seemingly hired a smart guy from Tampa, that the Isles could get nutty.
It sounds like that's not happening.
Well, Higgins, but trade out of it to be able to get something and take it. Or that, who knows? But yeah, it doesn't seem like he'll do the moron move and just reach and take him. But they could trade out of it for the feel-good story.
I still like Higgins, and if the Hawks took him, I wouldn't be upset, but I know everyone else would be.
It sounds like they have no interest.
It doesn't sound like they have any interest whatsoever, but I do. If it becomes between Denoid and Frondell, I'm in Denoid camp, even though everyone knows how I feel about players from the queue.
Suck, don't they?
Usually.
Yeah.
He just seems to fit what the Hawks want to do better.
Well, these days, the queue used to produce everyone. I mean, that was Sid, LeCavalier, Richards.
Well, aren't the juniors basically like nothing anymore? They're decimated for the most part because of
that. They soon will be because everyone's going to play for a year and then go to college.
Right.
Which is fine by me. I don't give a shit about the CHL.
No.
Bunch of weirdos and perverts.
Yep.
Anyway, so.
Well, all right. It is the draft. That's what it's all about, weirdos and perverts.
So there's our draft preview.
Skull measurements.
If MESA isn't there, we don't really care. And then we'll worry about it in 2 years when these guys still aren't here.
That's the only scenario that gets me a little hyped would be Frondell goes two and then the Hawks get MESA at three. And then it's like, this is semi-exciting.
There's a chance I'll have something new to watch next season. That's why I'd be excited.
Right. Otherwise,
would they give him the 9 games and then ship him back off to wherever the hell he's from?
If he stunk, sure. Maybe.
Or would they look for any excuse to do that?
I think they'd look for any excuse, but he won't give him one.
Misa's probably done with juniors because he's obviously been completely dominant and could go to NCAA, could go to college.
But he can't play the 9 games and then go to college.
Correct. So he could just say, I'm going to go to college instead of joining the Hawks.
He's NHL ready.
If the Hawks draft him, he's NHL ready.
They don't have enough to keep him off the NHL roster no matter what they say.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
All right, let's get to it. AWS and AFS, who's leading this train?
Well, again, I apologize for calling you out if it is not you, but it looks like a friend of the program, longtime Cretan Tecmo Bozo has
How
posted.
How could it not be him?
It's got to be him.
It's got to be him.
Has posted in the Hawks Reddit something, I guess, sort of akin to Martin Luther's 95 Theses. He nailed this thing to the church of Hawks Reddit.
Also, let's say if it's not Tecmo Bozo, then Tecmo Bozo can be flattered that someone else out there loves Tecmo Bozo so much that he took the name for Hawks for subreddit.
And is also a Hawks fan somehow.
And is also the same type of Cretan that Tecmo Bozo is.
So the post is titled Fire Davidson, which of course immediately pisses everybody off to the point where
it's your interest, yes.
No upvotes, 48 comments. Says, is this a joke? Is he content with having the 32nd best team? Is that his goal? This guy's clueless and in way over his head. It's time to hire a real GM who has an idea and understands hockey. And then he basically quotes The Athletic. But what if it was essentially the end of it? When you begin to piece together the Blackhawks lineup for next season, factoring in the veterans who are locked into positions and the young players who have a shot to be, it wouldn't be shocking if Davidson were essentially done aside from a few minor moves. So that's the post. It's essentially saying, this quote is a joke. Kyle Davidson is an idiot. He's fine with stinking. What's going on? Let's fire this guy. Okay, so obviously nobody agrees with this in Hawks Reddit. Nobody.
Except for these, you two who just lurk.
Yeah, I posted my guy and nothing else. And we'll see if that gets downvoted to oblivion. I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of people getting upvoted for calling him a psycho. Someone tried to
He is a psycho, let's be honest.
Well, and we of course endorse that.
Right.
But somebody who tried to be reasonable got downvoted to oblivion here by saying, this is a bit extreme for me, but I'm shocked how many people seem to think it's totally fine that we are this bad for this long. It's actually extremely rare to be bottom three for four straight years and then go on to win a cup in the next 10. It hasn't happened since the early 2000s Lightning team. I'm willing to see what he can do this offseason and the trade deadline, but seeing as he made comments going into the last year about how they shouldn't be bottom three anymore, another bottom three finish would be a clear sign things aren't going according to plan. Tell me what's incorrect in that post.
Nothing.
I actually hadn't even thought about it. Before last season, he said we can't
be
in the bottom three again, and they might do it twice.
He did, and they might do it again, and they might do it again. So again, the downvoted like crazy, and the comments are all carrying water for Davidson. Davidson started this rebuild 3 years ago. That's the only timeline that matters. Whatever happened before that is irrelevant. This is like the mantra that they continue to repeat. Tecmo Bozo chimes in, though. He will not let this go. He says, this is the Rick Hahn rebuild of a rebuild plan, and Hawk fans are apparently okay with it. And then this idiot replies, what a lazy comparison, but yes, I am pleased with the rebuild so far. And Tecmo Bozo says, you're okay, the Hawks have almost no NHL talent and no plan. And this guy lists, he says, no talent? Bro, the trolling is so real. Under 24 and in the NHL already. Bedard, Nazar, Rinzel.
Right. Sorry, everybody, that was my bad. Technical issues on the production end of things. But I believe, Andrew, you were in the middle of ranting about the number of players under 24. Yeah, the list of prospects.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, Tecmo Bozo replied, you're okay with the Hawks having no NHL talent and no plan. And this guy replies, no talent. The trolling is so real. Under 24 and in the NHL already. Bedard, Nazar, Rinzel, Reichel, Vlasic, and Knight. So that's
how did Reichel get on this list?
That's bad faith as it is. We Lucas Reichel isn't a good player, and he's on your list. Okay, period.
And Bedard's underperformed for two seasons.
And Spencer Knight is a goalie.
And Nazar had a good last 2 weeks of the season, but was completely lost for the entire
which he is allowed to.
Right.
Yeah, that's a little harsh on both of them, but I'll allow it.
Okay.
Well, if you're gonna, okay.
I don't think Bedard's rookie season was underperforming. His second season certainly was.
He was ouchy. But listen nevertheless. To this.
Yeah. And then he goes, prospects. And he lists them. And I'm going to read them this time. I'm going to read them to you because I think this is worth listing all of these names.
Okay.
Colton Dock. Ryan Grove.
No, not a prospect.
Yeah. No, not a prospect.
Oliver Miller.
Not a prospect anymore.
Sasha Boisvert.
Okay, fine.
Drew Commesso. Are you kidding
me? No, nope.
Ethan Del Masturbator.
Nope. Get out of here. Not a prospect.
Not a prospect.
Artie. Korch.
Yes.
Vanneker.
I don't even know who that is.
Whatever.
Okay, he was another one. He's another first round pick Remington. That they have that they're going to be surprised about if he's good.
Right.
Yeah.
Someone named Pridham.
No.
Yeah.
He just
never heard of him.
He just wrote mustard in all lowercase. I don't know what the fuck that is. They have a guy named Mustard. Is it French? French.
He works in the shops.
Okay, and then Roman Kantsarov, Scott Powers.
Scott Powers' favorite white whale.
Yeah, and then he writes 10 more picks this year in the draft. Mods, can we get a ban on this guy?
So yeah, he's not only ban yourself.
He's not only a moron. He's a narc.
We've seen enough of Colton Dock to know that's not a thing.
He's not a prospect. And again, that's another spot that seems to be promised for next year. Colton Dock has a forward spot on the opening.
I would rather he does than any of those Palookas.
What's the point? He's going to be injured within 2 minutes. Who cares?
Well, that's what I'm saying, Sam. Like, that's another spot where Lardis is going to have an outstanding training camp to even get a sniff.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Colton Dock has a spot, okay, now you got 10 forwards.
I'm just like replying to people in this thread now out of boredom. Someone with the username Kirby Doc has written, people like this are extremely casual fans or simply aren't paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You cannot grade
this listens to this show.
You cannot grade this rebuild based on wins and losses yet. Rebuilds take time, and so far, the players have been progressing as much as you could hope for.
No.
Even players they took big bets on, like Rinzel.
No. First of all, Rinzel was not a big bet. Second of all, We've done this show a million times. If you were progressing in the right way, you wouldn't be continually one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, we're not looking at point totals. We're looking at what we see on the ice that is indirectly leading to those point totals.
Yes. At some point, it has to matter in the standings, especially in year three of your rebuild.
Right.
Whatever year you want to say it is of this rebuild.
Not that Hawks Reddit listens to this podcast, but if they were. And last year they had a team that was just full of kids, or this year they had a team that's full of kids, and we watched them, and we're like, we could see the progress, but they still finished with 68 points. John would not be on this rant. He'd be like, you know what, this guy's better than he was here, and this guy's here, and we can see where this arcs up, now they need to augment it. That would be fine. When you're artificially stunting everything for the sake of it, that's when we get...
There's no augmenting happening.
Yeah.
And there's no growth. I mean, yeah, okay, so Ryan Donato scored 31 goals last year and had his best season. Big deal. He's a 30-year-old forward.
Mm-hmm.
How many other years are you going to get that from him?
None.
All of them.
Yeah. In 2 years... Well, watch. In 2 years, you're going to be looking around. These freaks are going to be looking around saying, why can't we have more young guys up here? And then meanwhile, Ryan Donato has a spot locked in on the roster because he's making $4 million per and 2 years left to go on his deal. And no
team to buy him out.
Right. With a full no movement clause.
I think it says something about Ryan Donato that we know that offer has been out there since trade deadline, and then right on the eve of free agency he signs it,
right?
Which makes it clear that his agent came to him and said, this is the best deal you're gonna get.
Or yeah, he said, I don't want to leave, I don't care, I want to take this money, be paid, and then I'm gonna get extremely fat and it's gonna be hilarious.
I mean, if I would think if you were gonna get paid the same at a team that was gonna win, he'd go there.
I genuinely think he likes it here for whatever reason.
Oh, I'm sure he likes it here. But that doesn't mean it'd be the only place he liked being.
Yeah, I think it probably...
If Colorado comes around and offers him 4 years, $4 million, you don't think he's going to go there?
Well, yeah, obviously they wouldn't do that for a guy who shot 19% or whatever right. It is.
But if they did, you really think he's like, oh, no, I'm going to stay here in Chicago? Come on.
They checked with their advanced analytics department and said, hey, what was his shooting percentage last year? Yeah, not interested.
Yeah. I'm not interested sign.
What was the second highest total goals he's ever scored in a season? Prior to this season?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, advanced team. Appreciate the appreciate the reverse Google search there.
Yeoman's work.
All right, gentlemen. I think for now I'm gonna drop for baby stuff, but you guys finish off the rest of the show without me, if that's
the
okay.
Last few minutes with the missing Slack formation. I spoke too soon.
Game's going. Yeah.
You can blame me. You can blame me. I work and idiocy stuff. So
Well, do we have? I don't have any cream questions. Do we have some on the main feed?
I got a couple.
All right, let's.
All right, bye, Andrew. Quick.
Bye, boys.
All right, Bert Kronenberger, our guy. If in a bizarre alternate timeline, Eberflus became an NHL coach, what would that look like, and what kind of system would he try to implement?
God.
Most like NHL coaches are NHL Eberflus. That's the thing.
No, they're not as hands off. Suhonen would be up there because he didn't really want to interfere. Anders, staying local. I'm trying to think. Who had a really ragged, who just couldn't play defense? Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, but there's no former player. I mean, Colleton, actually.
Well, yeah, same.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm trying to think. Anyway, that's the best I can do.
All right. What kind of system would he play, though, Sam?
Oh,
that's why I said he should. That's why fucking Collerton was trying to reinvent with the system.
No, Eberflus would be different. He'd play everyone sags back into the crease, try and block shots.
Oh yeah, big. So that's game shot blocking guy.
Just dump it out, and then, you know, don't try and get out on the rush, dump and chase. But yeah, in their own end, they would just be basically inside their own circles, clogging up the middle, trying to keep everything to the outside. Yeah.
And be bad at it.
And be bad at it.
Perhaps the worst to ever do
perhaps,
it.
Perhaps.
All right. No 12 off my ass, whatever that even means. If we get enough of the summer prospects perverts going and revved up here in Chicago, do you think John Cooper will come and coach?
Very good. Are these do the Hawks Redditors get pissed that they don't run a prospects camp anymore?
Can't go see him for bring my kids to go see him for free at Johnny's.
I do not believe so. I haven't seen many posts complaining about that. So
they haven't announced if they're doing that again, I guess. But I'm guessing they're not going to.
But I'm sure that
they're not going to have him on the ice again. They that seems to be policy now.
Yeah, I it's probably for the best. They probably don't even remember that they used to do it.
No.
Clearly, because they have the memory of goldfish.
And I don't, and who knows? It doesn't really. I'm sure it doesn't have any benefit.
What, to like, have the prospect camp?
Yeah, like you go to those scrimmages and you're like, hey, look, the first round picks look better than everyone.
Right, right.
Like, so, all right, let's do
and
one
then
more.
And then you got a bunch of amateur scouts who think that they see something in some guy because he does a drill really good. And anyways. Yeah.
All right, last one. Longtime guy, Sarcastic Mike. I'm moving 1,000 miles away from Chicago. What do I need to bring with me to represent the city? Chicago flag, vanity license plate holders, etc. I'm packing several bottles of Neon Relish and Sport Peppers already. Not from Jim's, my friend. You'll need a separate truck.
I would say the Chicago flag, depending on if you have somewhere to hang it, over a balcony, a porch.
I got somewhere you can hang it.
Yeah, right. Getting your own old style sign is probably too complicated and too expensive, so that's out.
One of his other suggestions is shirts for my favorite breweries and restaurants. Yeah, sure.
What about the hot dog poster?
Get
the hot dog on the Navy.
Hot dog poster is a good one. I'd say get an empty bottle or Shuba's T-shirt, something like that. That should do.
Well, but I mean, Sam, you're really the only one amongst us that lived in adulthood elsewhere.
I was too young to bring anything.
Just your dreams.
I had some T-shirts, and Cubs stuff, and Bears stuff. But now I would bring a Chicago flag, and I would find a decommissioned old style sign, or I would have one made and put it on my porch or something. All right. Well, that is it. That has been our pre-draft show. I think we'll probably be back after the draft next week.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In fact, we'll just lay out the schedule. We'll be back after that. We'll be back after July 1st in case the Hawks do anything, or if they don't anything, we'll be there to be angry. And then we'll take our usual July hiatus until training camp. John's got so much tape to break down. You know, we can't burden him with other podcasts. So we'll be around for the next little bit, whether you want us or not, whether you need it or not. Probably not. So for the departed Slack, he's not dead. He's just not here. For John, for Matt, I am Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, and share. Until next week, Top Guys, out.